The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You may be familiar with the name William Bach. He was a member of the NCAA's Infractions Committee until about 3 weeks ago, mid-February. He resigned. Why? Because he had the guts to say what's happening to women in collegiate sports is unfair. If you have transgender women, which essentially means biological males who have become women, competing against women, we know for a fact that this is unfair to women. He's going to explain his decision to us. He's going to tell us what he hopes to see in the future from NCAA sports. I'm not optimistic, but when Leah Thomas won an NCAA swimming championship, the shift, the focus, everything changed. William Bach joins us to discuss it next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya Podcast.
You know, after a long day, no one wants to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. Well, how about quick and easy barbecue? No, I'm not talking about takeout. I'm talking juicy steaks, succulent chicken or fish, and healthy grilled veggies cooked on your own Solaire infrared gas grill. Solaire grills are the hot, fast grills that heat up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. True. And that heat locks in juices and flavor and grills your food faster. It's a veteran-owned company, multi-generational family business, and each Solaire grill is made in the USA out of quality commercial-grade stainless steel. It will be the last grill you ever need to buy. Visit besthotgrill.com for their free guide, How to Choose the Right Infrared Grill. For apartment balconies to backyard entertainment areas, that's besthotgrill.com. With a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill, you'll want to grill every single day. Get your free guide at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Welcome to William Bach, who has asked me to call him Bill, so I will. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you about this. This is an issue that is near and dear to my heart and to a lot of people's, and obviously to yours. When you resigned your position at the NCAA, I wanted to stand up and cheer. I thought, you know, we need more men, and frankly, we need more women speaking about this issue. What was the final straw for you? Because you had been on the committee for about, what, since 2016?
That's correct, Michelle. You know, there were probably about 5 or 10 final straws as I watched the NCAA doing nothing, and frankly, should have done it sooner.
I wonder, do you think if you had done it sooner, that would have made a difference? Or you were hanging in there because you thought maybe something would change, right?
I was hopeful that they would change. This attention really came to the issue really came to the forefront in many people's minds with the Leah Thomas situation in late 21 and early 22. And that was the same for me. And really, from that point forward, I was looking more closely at what the NCAA was doing. When I was attending a Division I committee on infraction meetings, I was talking with the fellow members of the committee about the issue. Had a lot of background in sports doping and really saw the analogies there. And that gave me kind of a platform to discuss it with people. But the NCAA just was stagnant in terms of addressing the issue.
When I look at this issue, and you're right, it did come to the fore with Leah Thomas, although I'd been seeing the buildup, not specifically with Leah, but in this arena, if you will, I'd been seeing it for many years, because even on the high school level, you could find biological males who were now trans women playing on soccer teams, on volleyball teams, etc. And we've seen what can happen. And so now it gets this major spotlight with the Leah Thomas incident. Why was the NCAA so afraid to stand up and rely on facts?
You know, Michelle, it's interesting. As I've looked back at it, the NCAA has had this regressive, repressive, really anti-woman position since 2010. And it really, or actually 2015. And it really coincides with a lot of the bad press and bad attention that they've been getting based on their economic model, which the Supreme Court has essentially found exploitive of student athletes. And I wonder if they didn't latch on to this issue, which sells well on college campuses, to kind of divert attention from all the other legal exploitation issues that they have. But what the NCAA has done is that they have imposed the equivalent of an iron ceiling on women. Michelle, you broke through what in the day we called a glass ceiling, and you were a pioneer for women in sport and in sport reporting. But the NCAA, through its rules, which equate womanhood to a testosterone level, have really put women in a position where they cannot succeed in NCAA sport.
What is the motivation for that?
You know, as I said, I think it is, you have to look at the economic model for the NCAA, where their profit comes 90% or more from men's sports. Mm-hmm. And they will do a lot to protect that economic model. And right now, the focus on men's sports is to the detriment of women. And as you say, they get a lot of support, unfortunately, on college campuses, which is where, you know, there is support for this issue. There's not support for this issue across the country and on playing fields around the world, where women are being discriminated against and being injured by men. There's no support there. But I think on college campuses, there is that support. And this is the one issue where the NCAA feels support from its membership. And unfortunately, it's an issue of discrimination against women.
Well, and I would argue that it's a vocal minority on these campuses that speaks up and shouts down anyone who disagrees with them and calls them transphobic. If you believe that biological women are at a disadvantage in this and that these biological men, trans women, are somehow infringing on women's privacy, on fair competition, you're called a transphobe by these activists. And it seems to me the NCAA is cowering to the activist class on campus, not the whole group. But I'm starting to worry that so many people have been shouted down or just made to believe that, no, this really is fair, and you are a bigot if you suggest otherwise. How can we take the temperature of this on campuses? Because I just can't believe that if the majority of the United States population thinks this is unfair, I can't believe the majority of college campus populations can think it's fair. It's got to be a vocal minority, yeah. Isn't it?
It's absolutely a vocal minority. And I've talked to a lot of young ladies on college sports teams. And back in 2022, had the opportunity to talk to a few young ladies on the Penn University swim team, mm-hmm. that Leah Thomas competed on, mm-hmm. and they felt that they were not free to be able to speak their mind and tell what was happening. They were being told that they would be ostracized, that they would be canceled, that to remember the name of the school that is on their uniform and things like that. And that's happening far too much. There's a kind of a repressive move against women speaking up and speaking the truth on this issue, and men too. There's an effort to silence. But the truth is, and I think that the way to combat that is with the scientific facts. Yeah. And so that's, my background has been in anti-doping and understanding what it takes to keep a level playing field in sport. And when you focus on the science and focus on the degree of competitive advantage that there is through retained male advantage when a male wants to compete in the female category, even with testosterone suppression. Numerous scientific studies establish that that suppression is only a minimal performance impact, and women are still at a huge disadvantage to males. So I think we need to return the conversation to science. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to turn the conversation back to the law. Title IX was written and enacted in 1972 to protect women.
Yep.
It's now kind of become dormant. And but it's the conduct of the NCAA is flatly contrary to federal law, in my opinion.
That should bother so many people, just that statement alone. And it seems like it's so obvious, and yet somehow they're getting away with this. One of the things that really bothers me is that, and my husband has said this, we have a daughter who's an athlete, we have a son who's an athlete. But if young women, if it's not important enough to them, now you mentioned the UPenn example, and I've interviewed Paula Scanlon and how they felt like they were not allowed to talk about this. They were not allowed to express their feelings. They'd be canceled. Right. They might not get jobs out of college. I mean, it was extreme what they were told.
Yeah.
So you're now silencing these people from speaking on their own behalf. So I'm looking at, a track meet in high school. If all of the biological women would just walk away from the starting blocks and say, we're not competing again, this is unfair, and we're not going to compete, I would think that that would start to bring an end to this. Why isn't that happening in your best guess?
It might, but it would also in some ways prevent the young ladies who are being harmed the most from even being able to compete. I think people just need to all across the country and need to start speaking out.
Yeah.
It's going to take people willing to speak up and speak the truth. We saw it in the Lance Armstrong cycling investigation when I was with the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. Lance was protected by a conspiracy of silence, what they called an omerta, because people were afraid to speak up. But when some courageous cyclists thought about what they wanted to see in cycling for the future and do for their children and their legacy, and they did speak up and admit that they had doped as well, when those courageous athletes came forward and spoke the truth, people listened and things changed. And that is what needs to happen right now. The NCAA March Madness tournament is where they make most of their money. Mm-hmm. Is this month in March. And, maybe we need to start talking about their economic model and hitting them where it hurts, standing up for women by not watching the NCAA tournament, by not buying products that are sponsored, in March Madness. I think that might be an approach that might even be more calculated to get the NCAA to move quickly, because unfortunately, it appears that they're most focused on the bottom line, the financial bottom line.
Well, when you have some superior female athletes like Caitlin Clark becoming as popular as she is, heaven forbid you put a male basketball player, biological male, a trans woman into a women's basketball environment in the NCAA. I think that maybe there's a reason we're not seeing that yet. And we're certainly not seeing trans men compete against biological men. So I this whole thing is so bizarre, backwards, crazy to me on the scientific level, on the fairness level, on the ethical level, all of it. I remember when Title IX was enacted, my dad, who had three daughters, one of them was me, was so excited for his girls that they were going to get the same opportunities that his son had. And I can't believe we're where we are. But I admire you and thank you for taking a stand and bringing attention to this. Bravo to you.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. And the reference to Title IX is interesting. Again, it was 1972 when that law was passed, and the NCAA fought it. It was only a male sports organization until the early 1980s, and they fought Title IX at that point. The big issue in terms of fairness in women's sport in the 1970s was East German doping. Mm-hmm. That issue, which impacted a generation of female athletes in Olympic sport and prevented them from rising to the top based on their abilities. We're facing an issue here with men competing in the women's category that is analogous and every bit as unfair as East German doping.
You just put a bow on it that only someone like you with your experience could have provided. He is William Bach, and he has been brave and done good, which I say at the end of every podcast, be brave, do good. He has embodied that, and I so appreciate it and applaud him. Bill, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Michelle.
And we'll see you next time, everyone.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.